Today is day five.
It's because I'm a nerd.
It's the fifth class day. What? Yeah. I do everything in terms of the class days.
It's good work.
Right?
It's enough. This book is too fast.
So, if I remember the schedule correctly, we're on the surface here.
All right.
Okay.
Area of surface revolution.
We're not going to do general surface areas. That's for calculus 3. But we are going to talk about a special case. The idea is pretty simple. In the abstract, when you do specific examples with specific formulas, there may be of computation involved, but in the abstract, here's the geometry of it. We have an axis of rotation, so it's supposed to be a line, and then we have some curve. Right? It doesn't even have to be the graph of a function, just some curve, and what we want to do is take every piece of the curve and rotate it around that axis. So, for example, I have a little piece right here. I should rotate it around the axis and look, I guess something that looks like that. And I want to do that for every piece, so there's another piece over here. It's going to get rotated around the curve. And so if we ask ourselves, okay, what would be the total surface area from rotating the whole curve around this line? Now, again, with calculus, you want to ask yourself, okay, how can I approximate this? And the key step here is we think of a little piece of the curve as being approximately straight. Okay. So this little, we have, say, a little piece here, and like with arc length, we're gonna have a name for the approximate length of this approximately straight segment of the curve. And let's just call the radius that we just went around there, the radius of this ring, R. Okay? You'll notice that R is not the same everywhere. It's not a constant. The different R's in different parts of the curve. Okay? And these little DS's don't have to be the same everywhere. They just have to be small enough that each of them is making the curve approximately straight. So we're assuming the curve is approximately straight at small scales, right? But if it is, then we can go through this procedure. So under these assumptions, then, we can talk about the approximate surface area of this ring. What would be the simplest form that you could think of to, why don't we call it dA, right? This is supposed to be an approximation of the area of that little ring. What would be a simple formula for that? Well, pi r squared would be the area of the disk inside the ring. I want the area of this thin little ring going around, not the disk inside.
What about the surface area of a sphere?
It's not a sphere though, right?
It's just
circumference, right?
Yes.
Imagine we cut the ring right there, and then we could unfold it, right? The problem we would have is it's You know, you'd want to do something like this. It won't quite unfold flat. The problem is in this picture, at least, this end of the ring, this circle, is a little bit smaller than this one. So it's not quite flat. Right? But you think of a short enough segment such that R is about the same here and here, right? If R is approximately the same here as it is here, then if you could unfold it and try and flatten it out, it would be approximately a rectangle. Okay? So that's what we're going to go with. We're going to forget about the fact that R is slightly different here, because if you imagine just adding a little bit of a triangle there or there, you know, it would just change the area by a tiny amount. You know, just you change it by a few percent, say. Well, then just make your segment shorter, and then the rectangle becomes a better and better approximation. So that's the formula we use. Okay. And so the surface area, we could just call it A. We think it should be exactly an integral over the whole curve of 2 pi r times ds, right? We add up a bunch of little das. Right,
What do you mean? Bunch of under of da's.
Well, what's an integral, right? Yeah, it's a limit of Riemann sums, or you're adding up a bunch of little rectangle areas, right?
Yes.
Okay. Here we're adding up a bunch of little ring areas. Okay. And we're taking, you know, the limit. So if you like, you could think of it as the limit as, say you cut this curve up into n pieces, okay? And then you have all the little areas, right? For example, you know, maybe you cut up into n pieces of equal, you know, ds or whatever. You know, just, you know, cut it up into many, many little parts. Right. That's just like an integral of a Riemann sum, right? If I write something like this, it's just a limit to infinity of what? Of a bunch of those things. But the point is we're cutting up equal parts. So you'd have something like this. Yeah. If you cut up your interval in the n pieces, right? And then it's the same idea. Now, it doesn't have to be pieces of equal ds, for example. It could be something else. For example, it could be some other way of cutting it. The point is, you need to cut it such that the pieces get thin, right? So that our approximations become better and better. mean, this one here, you know, the rule is, you know, you're taking some sample points. For example, if you use the right endpoint rule, this would just be this. You know, we've been doing slightly different things, but, you know, we use a midpoint rule sometimes, or a trapezoid rule, slightly different formulas, but it's a limit. And what we want to do is turn it into a regular type integral. Okay. So, it's often not convenient to break it up into equal ds. It's easier to break it up some other way. Okay. So here's something. Let's say the curve is y equals x squared. Okay. 0 less than or equal to x, less than or equal to 1. To make the parabola here. Something like that. Okay, here's our curve. And let's say I revolve it around the line at x equals 2. So now I'll have an actual formula. Okay, so here's x equals 2. So we're going to take this little curve here. We're going to revolve it around. Something like that. Kind of like vaguely like the flare of a brass instrument. Opening of a trumpet horn or something. Okay. So you probably don't want to cut it up into equal ds pieces. That would just look more complicated. Better strategy here. Since we have everything in terms of x, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut it up into little pieces in terms of x intervals. Okay. What if we had a little piece here, okay, some little x interval, we'll call this dx, okay? So we're going to have this, so we just take the stuff above that x interval, that's how we're going to cut it up. And take that little piece, revolve it around, okay, so we have this ring here. So that's how we can cut up into use little x intervals to cut up, because that'll be more convenient. In the limit, you know, if you make these little x intervals small enough, you'll get short little segments here. So you'll get better and better approximations. Okay. So the area of that little ring, according to our formula, 2 pi r ds. So we have a little ds there. Okay, but we need to do everything in terms of x now. Because that was my choice. I had a function, right, of x, so I figured let's do everything in terms of x. Okay? So let's see what we can do here. What's the radius? Okay, so we have some x value here. Okay? So if you have some x value, we just call it x. Then to go over here to 2, the distance you're traveling is 2 minus x. So if you're at x in your horizontal position, and then you go over to horizontal position 2, it's 2 minus x. Okay, that's easy. Just in geometry. What about the ds? We use our arc length approximation. from two class days ago, right? So we're approximating the arc length. We assume we have a very short segment, so that little bit of the parabola here is approximately straight. So we can take our little change in x, and we're making a little triangle here. Right? D, right triangle, right? And the dy, right, that's an approximation, right? We're going to use this, we're going to take the derivative of that, which is 2x, right? So the rate of change of y with respect to x is 2x. So for a small change dx in x, the change in y should be about 2x times as big. Okay. And square root of both sides and factor out that dx into that. So what we need up here is this thing. Okay, so there was multiple layers of approximation here. We approximated this this ring as something where we could unroll it as approximately a rectangle, which was a 2 pi r by ds rectangle. And then we approximated the ds itself. And the idea is with all these approximations, the percent error, the way to think about it, is getting smaller and smaller as you make everything smaller as well. You make the dx smaller and smaller, and the difference between the radius here and here becomes a smaller and smaller fraction of the radius here. So it becomes a better and better approximation. Just use, say, the radius here, for example. The curve gets closer and closer to straight. That little arc, the shorter the arc is. And the shorter the dx is, the shorter the arc is. Okay. So the total area now, we just have to add up all our little pieces, right? Maybe the dx, if the dx was 1 over 100, then we'd literally add up 100 pieces, using this approximate formula. The integral represents the limit of shorter and shorter but more numerous pieces. So I mean, you could use a dx of 1 over 100 and compute 100 little numbers from this formula and add them all up. Or you could do it 1,000 pieces, whatever. The integral represents the limit. So, and the notation, well, we know the x is going from 0 to 1. We're just saying, so we're going to have this thing here. And usually people like to put the dx at the end of those times. It's not a big deal. As long as it's clear what you're integrating over, you could have the dx here or here. It doesn't really matter. So you're just adding up a bunch of things of this form. This represents a limit as n goes to infinity of, in this case, a bunch of numbers. And where the kth one is just 2 pi times the kth x point where you're evaluating this. And then the dx is, in this case, 1 minus 0 over n pieces, right? And in this case, for example, this would be the right endpoint you would get. Now there are other. This is not the only way to do it, of course. That's the right endpoint rule for integration. You know, good. There's other things we could use, right? We don't have to use the right endpoint. That formula here is just the right endpoint formula for the kth right endpoint. Left endpoint, midpoint, trapezoid, etc. They work too. So, and usually things like midpoint and trapezoid are closer to the limiting value for a given n than right endpoint or left endpoint. They're usually less biased. So if I wanted an actual number for this kind of thing, I could use a trapezoid rule or a midpoint rule. I could also ask my calculator, just use whatever rule you like to use for those kinds of integrals. Okay. Ultimately, what have we done? We've turned this into a regular traditional integral, right? We can think of this thing here at, for 2 pi times 2 minus x times the square root of 1 plus 4x squared. You can think of that as a function. Right? So you can think of this as, a height, right? You can think of this as a width. So that it's just you have some function that you're integrating over. And what does this function look like? It's probably something like that. So that it's back to the traditional Riemann something that you can approximate with rectangles. So we're turning one kind of sum into something we can approximate by the Riemann sum using learning calculus 1. So that's the standard kind of integral, and that's what my calculator knows how to do. So a lot of these things are just ways of turning the integrals into the traditional calculus 1 integral. So we do this integral here. There may be a complicated exact formula for it. My calculator says it's the logarithm of 2 plus root 5 plus 7 sixths times root 5 plus 1 sixth, all of that times pi. Okay. We'll talk about how the calculator could have come up with that answer in the later sections. The trig substitution, which I'm saving for later. And we can also get a simple numerical version of it. Comes out to be about 13.25 something according to my calculator. So this is a more elaborate version of the kind of transformation we did with arc length. With arc length, we represented a length as an area, so we could use our techniques for approximating area under curves. Now we're taking an area in 3D space, right, and we're turning it into an area under a curve. This is the height. This is the y coordinate. This is some curve. This is the x. So it's that kind of transformation again. So we have the simple abstract formula, and then we combine it with some other formulas. Right, that we have before. So remember, now, you know, if you have something like this, then what we want to use is the arc length formula. Which was 1 plus the derivative of the function squared. Right. Just like there, I had the 2x that was squared to 4x to become 4x squared. Right. If you had something else, like, you know, if you had something weird, like maybe somebody gave you a graph where x was a function of y, then you have a different arc length formula. But it's essentially asymmetric, right? It would, so they switch the role of x and y. They're just letters, you know. You get that. Just be a 2. No big deal. You just have to do a little bit of geometry to get this part right. So here's another one. How about we look at let's do the same curve again. Okay. Let's revolve it around a different line. How about the line y equals negative 3? Going to be a much bigger thing, right? This is going to go, this is revolving way down there, right? Again, big ring around here. Right, I'm only showing you really the top half of the ring, right? Up to here, here's the radius, right, for some little piece, right? Okay. So what would be the formula for the radius now?
Plus the x squared.
Hmm?
Plus x squared?
Yeah. You want to have it in terms of x. So you think of this as x, and then the y coordinate is x squared, because that's our definition of the curve. So we're going from y equals x squared right here down to y equals negative 3. So the difference, right, has got to be 3 plus x squared. You got to go 3 up to get to 0, then you got to go x squared up to get to x squared. And it's the same ds formula as before. So we don't need to do that again. Okay, so now the integral would go from x equals 0 to x equals 1. Right? Because again, we're gonna cut everything up in terms of x. And yeah, so it's still 2 pi r, different r this time. This. Okay. My calculator says this time it's about 31.68 something. Which you expect it to be bigger, right? Because the radii look a lot bigger. You know, the minimum radius is 3, the maximum radius is 4. Whereas over here, the minimum radius was 1, and the maximum radius is 2. So it's not surprising that it's, you know, very roughly 3 times bigger. This one was, my calculator says it's about 13 point something. Now I'm getting 31 point something. So it's the same game. You're again, what have we done? We turned it into, you know, we made up some function so that we had a height. We could integrate over it. So we've turned one kind of area into another kind. And so you can approximate this integral using a trapezoid rule, using a midpoint rule. Maybe your calculator can automate it for you. Okay. The part that you have a little bit of trouble, perhaps, with you know, getting a computer to do it for you is the part where you actually figure out this height formula, right? You know, we had to do some geometry, right? And we had to make a choice. You know, okay, we're going to try and do everything in terms of x and so on.
Does it matter where the radius is? Like, if you move it more to the right, it's still going to be 3 plus x squared, either way?
If I move...
Like, instead of writing the radius right there, you move it more to the right or whatever?
Oh, well...
Would it still be the same?
Well, like, if... You mean if, say, I'm over here?
Yeah.
Okay, well... That is still x comma x squared, but these are... different x's. Okay. So. Yeah. So. Yeah. And then these would be different r's. Right. It's not the same r. So we're cutting it up into slices, right? And so each slice will have its own roughly constant radius. If you make a little slice around here, then you have to use the x value for that slice. You make a slice here, and you figure out the area of that ring, you have to use a different x value. Okay. So think of the radius as a function of x, right? Not just one number.
How'd you get radius?
How did I get the radius?
Yeah.
Oh, I asked the guy in the green shirt. What's your name again?
Okay, Luis.
Luis told me.
Okay, so your axis of rotation, right, is y equals negative 3.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells you that from y equals negative 3 to the x-axis, you have a distance of 3, okay? And then you're going to add the whatever your function value is, because that's going to give you the actual radius from the from your function to your axis of rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, it might help. Usually you think of this as the x-axis. We could also think of it as the y equals 0 line, right? So we're going from negative 3 to 0, as you said. And then we have to go up to, you know, this curve, right? Right? So we're going from here is 3, right? From here to here is 3, from here to here is x squared.
Yeah. Was the axis rotation given?
Yeah. This is not so bad. What if I gave you a slanted axis of rotation?
Yeah. I was about to ask that. What if we had a function as our axis of rotation?
Well, if it's curved, then it's not an axis technically, right?
Yeah.
You can define something like that, but that would be that'd be tricky. If it's a curved axis, there's some stuff. It's really calculus 3 stuff, though. Where you could actually make a sensible thing of, you know, like revolve this curve about that curve. There is a way you could talk about that. Basically, see, I can erase this. I got pictures of it. It would be you have to know, you have to use the perpendicular. Okay. Okay, so think, if you had a little curved axis of rotation, you would have to make perpendicular lines, right? So perpendicular to the tangent, right? And so then you have a bunch of these, okay? And then if you had another curve here that you wanted to revolve around the axis, then what you do is you take a little piece here, revolved around like that, take a little piece here, gets revolved around like that. That's more work, because you're gonna have to have a formula for the direction of this line. Then you're gonna have to do more geometry for getting the distance from here to here. Right? You're gonna have to figure out where these lines cross.
I mean, for that, wouldn't we just take the derivative of the curve that we're rotating about, and then get the opposite reciprocal of that derivative to get
And then you have to figure out where the line intersects your curve.
Oh, okay.
That's the annoying part, because if the formula for the curve is complicated, figuring out this intersection point could be
something
problematic. If it's a straight line, it might not be so bad. So, for example, let's say we revolve. Y equals x cubed, 1 less than x less than 2, about the line y equals x. Curve here, and you've got So you would have a perpendicular there.
Okay.
And so you'd have to figure that out. When it's straight, you can do it. I can try and make that look more like a right angle.
Is that
more?
That's a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So a little piece would get revolved around like that. Maybe a little ring here. So. How would that go? You'd have to say. Basically, you're going to have to find the point of intersection it boils down to. I made it a little bit simpler here. So you can think of this as a y minus x equals 0. Okay. And then if you have y minus, then what would y minus x, you know what y minus x is going to be here. At a given x value, it'll just be x cubed minus x. Now, this is. In this particular case, I know that it's a 45 degree angle because I made this y equals x is a 45 degrees, which is, my line didn't quite go through the origin of that, but so I could, you know, I could figure this out. So the something up here,
yeah.
And you imagine moving over, and I believe it should be this. Because of the first two.
Well, where did you get the y minus x equals x cubed minus y from? I mean, minus x.
Oh, it's just from my definition of the curve.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's a lot more of a geometry problem, as you can see. So I'm not going to ask you to do slanted ones. Trickier geometry, which but if I ask people to do it, they spend 90% of their time on the geometry and 10% of their time on the calculus, so that's why I don't ask you to do that. Okay. That. that's the that's the better picture. So it's there. Now I think I moved down here. I'm not going to ask you to do something that hard. You know, if you want to do more advanced stuff, you should be part of the honors program, right? You know, do the honors contract for this course. I can give you lots of stuff. And it doesn't just have to be, you know, geometry. I had someone do some computer programming stuff with numerical integration, and power series, and so on for an honors contract for this course the previous year. Okay. This is where you're all waiting. Okay. So you want to turn your surface area into an integral that's either, something like this, or something like this. Okay, so for what surfaces? Okay. Let's revolve. So here's our curve. Let's revolve it around x equals pi. Okay. Here's another one. So you don't have to solve these integrals, you just have to figure out the integral formula. Most of the times, there isn't an exact formula solution. The best you can do is numerical integration of it anyway. X equals 0 is just the y-axis. Also, sketch these surfaces. See if you can give me a crude picture of them. Any other questions?